Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. You know, John's Gospel is unique. This comes just off the cuff here, not part of the sermon, but John's Gospel is unique in that it is a standalone Gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are pretty much what we call synoptic. They kind of tell the same story in kind of the same way. Matthew's first in Scripture, but it may have been Mark who wrote the first gospel, and the other two, Matthew and Luke, might have come behind him and kind of mimicked and copied some of the things he had to say. John, on the other hand, is a standalone gospel. In other words, he didn't follow a pattern or a plan. He shot from the hip and told us. And that's why most of the time when somebody says to me, where should I start reading in the Bible? I tell them, read the Gospel of John, because it is the one that just shoots right from the hip and tells it straight. John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm not going to read the whole book, I promise. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He, John, was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And the people said amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of God's word. Marshall Douglas, I'm glad to see you. Sit down now. A few weeks ago, I told you that I wanted you, if you wanted to drive by 34 Crute Drive and have a look at my Christmas lights. Several of you have. Some have texted me little innuendos like Cliff Warren and said, I noticed the J was a little crooked. That's because I let you know that. He didn't see that. So I asked you to come by and say, here's what happened. Vitae, where are you at, V? There he is right there. Brother Vitae came by and he put the lights around the eave of my house. Magnetic lights, mind you, stick on that tin barn we live in. And it stuck on there. And so then my wife and I, at the close of Christmas last year, found a deal on 1,200 lights, 12 strings of 100. I bought them. I don't know. They were $29.95. I bought them for $19.95. And boy, I thought I got a deal. And several days later, my wife, being the shopper she is, carried them all back to the store. And I said, did you change your mind? She said, heck no. They're selling for $10 now. And she took them all back, and we got them for $10. So we have all these lights, and we adorned our driveway. 1,200 lights around our driveway. So you can come by and see them for the small price of $40 a car. Christmas. Man, look at our stage. Look at all the stuff that's done here. Bob, amen. Bob led the charge. And he had some soldiers with him. He had Cole with him, and he had Travis with him, and they did all this. And I was out running up and down the roads, and I was so proud they did that. It doesn't look great. They have served us and decorated everything. The foyer's decorated. Vicky put up a tree at our house, and it's as beautiful as the one you see out in the foyer. We're trying to figure out a way that we can push that thing in a closet and keep it till next year. I don't know if she can do it again. But listen, those things are beautiful. And I love all the lights. I love the lights around town. I love the lights in different neighborhoods. I love the lights of Christmas. Bob and him have done such a wonderful job of decorating everything. But friends, Christmas is not really about all these lights. Christmas is not about a preacher's driveway lined with 1,200 lights. That's not what Christmas really is. Although it reminds us of what Christmas is, I want you to understand today what Christmas is really all about. It's all about an amazing, beautifully amazing event that carried on years ago. Christmas isn't just about the lights and houses and driveways. It isn't about the lights on the stage or those adorned at huge lighted trees, the ones we have and others around. Christmas is about the light that came into the world that first Christmas. See, John doesn't set out in, this is what I like about John. John doesn't set out in his gospel rendition, in his copy of the gospel. He doesn't start out with a manger scene. He doesn't start out with wise men and shepherds. He doesn't start out in Bethlehem. Instead, John does something pretty unique to his gospel. He goes back beyond Bethlehem. He goes back even before creation, before time was. God shows us that Jesus was present even then. Sometimes we think that Jesus only showed up at Christmas time, that he started his life there. No, John tells us even before creation, even before time, John shows us that Jesus was really there present already. Our text this morning from John's gospel is all about Jesus Christ, and it's all about the unveiling of a light that would illuminate the world if people would allow it to do so. So I want you this morning to walk with me. I want us to kind of take a little journey down a trail here, a trail of light, if you will. We're going to walk down this trail, and I want you to see the light that is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I were to preach to you this morning under a subject title, I would want to title this sermon, The Light Revealed. And I would want you to walk with me on this journey as we make this traveling trip and look at what it means for the light of Jesus Christ to be revealed. This light has always existed. It didn't just come so many years ago on that first Christmas. And now that light that is the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in human flesh at Christmas time. And John wants us to see that light revealed. He wants us to understand some things about the revelation of the light of Jesus Christ. So we're going to walk this morning together, and we're going to consider that word Emmanuel, God with us. First time I saw that word in Scripture, I thought, where did Spanish find its way into all this language? And then I did a little language study and realized that Emmanuel is really not Emmanuel, it's Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God is with us. So what happened at that first Christmas is that God himself, and I'll repeat this later on because I want you to hear it, God himself put on flesh and came to dwell among men. The light was revealed to us from heaven on high. I want this morning for you and I to look at that light that's been revealed. I want us to look at Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. The first thing I want you to look at is that Jesus Christ, the light that he is, the revealed light of Jesus, is eternal. Jesus is eternal. There may not be always Christmas time. When we get to heaven, I'm not sure we'll be satisfied to just celebrate Christmas. We'll be with Christmas, right? Anytime you sing a song that has the word holy in it, Cole knows this. The reason I love to sing that word at the top of my lungs, if you don't watch me, I'll sing at the top of my lungs, and I'll even sing the wrong song sometimes. And I may not sing it exactly like it's written, but listen, there's a word that is going to be a word we're going to use in heaven, and it's that word holy. We could even practice this morning if you'd like. We could practice the language of heaven. I could have, like I've done before, and have this side of the building say holy and the middle say holy. Let's just do that. With this row, right, would you just together say holy?
Holy.
Do it again.
Holy.
Now, middle section, would you say holy?
Holy.
And now section over here, would you say holy?
Holy?
Now, on 1, 2, 3, let's go through it. Here we are, 1,
holy.
2,
holy.
3,
holy.
1,
holy.
2,
holy.
3, that's what heaven's going to sound like. So we're going to talk about that word holy, and we're going to talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ that is the Holy One of heaven, and talk about him being that light that is revealed. John opens with a strong statement concerning Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, is the truth of God wrapped in flesh on planet Earth. God's full and final revelation came in Jesus Christ. People say, I need a sign, preacher. I need some kind of sign from heaven. There is a sign that was given 2,000 years ago on a cross in Jerusalem. That is the only sign we need, because God is full and complete in his revelation to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than Jesus coming down the pipe. God's final and full revelation is in him. He has let us know that he was with God in heaven, in relationship with the Father. He was God in the flesh among humanity at Bethlehem's manger and lived 33 years on this planet. And all things, the Bible says, were made through him and by him, and nothing was made that was made that he didn't have a part of. Amen. Before there was ever a star above Bethlehem. Before there was ever a star above Bethlehem. We'll go to Bethlehem in November of 26. I've been there many times over the last few years. We'll go to Bethlehem. Before there was ever a star above Bethlehem, Jesus was there when God spoke the stars into existence. Amen. He was there when it was all created. He is the eternal God. Jesus Christ is the eternal God among us. He was the beginning of the beginning. He was and he is. He's still today. And he's coming someday. And when he comes, we'll really have Christmas. I don't know if it's going to be at the Christmas season. That'd be all right. Maybe he did it before Christmas Day. That way what I got my wife would be good. I have no idea. Heaven. It's where Jesus is, and he is the eternal light of heaven. There's an old song with a line that speaks about our entrance into that city of heaven, that city in a faraway land, that distant city of God. The writer penned these words. He said, I entered the gates of the city so bright and so fair. There is never going to be a brighter place than heaven. And heaven is bright because the everlasting life of Jesus Christ is there. The everlasting light that is him is there. His life is there, and he illuminates heaven. Jesus is the light of Bethlehem's manger. He is the eternal light of the world. He is the eternal light of the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. Jesus is the Word of God among man. He is the eternal light of the world, the eternal light of heaven. And in the Gospel of John later, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light in their life. I don't know about you, but I don't like dark. You like dark? I like dark when I sleep. That's about it. Sometimes my house looks like a freight train at midnight when I'm trying to go to sleep, coming down the tracks. I like darkness only when I sleep. Otherwise, I like the light. And friends, if you like the light, then I submit to you the greatest light you can ever know is the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. He said of that of himself. There'll never be anything. Never be anything. Never be anything that will quell the everlasting eternal light of Jesus Christ. He was revealed in Bethlehem's manger to the world. He was there when creation came about. He's here today, and his light is still bright and shining. I borrow from Paul's words in Romans chapter 8, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature can separate me from the love of God, amen, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Christ Jesus, the eternal light. Nothing will be able to separate us from the light that is Christ. Now, let's talk about the ministry of that light. So we had the light revealed to us on earth in Bethlehem's manger. So what was the purpose? What's the ministry of that light? The revealed light came for the explicit purpose of exposing things. Let's talk about that. In our text in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Skip down to verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The entire mission of the revealed light of Jesus Christ on this planet, on earth, in our lives, the entire mission of his journey to this world was to be the eternal light, to reveal and to illuminate our lives, and to show us the way to have eternal life. I've never met anybody who said, I just want to die. Oh, you have. I've heard people say that, but they didn't mean it. People say, I just want to die. What I do discover is people say, man, I want to live. I lay there in the bed last night thinking about this sermon and thinking about being here this morning, and I thought about the fact that, you know, the older I get, you got to realize I'm closer to death than I am birth. I'd like to grow up and be like my mother-in-law. She's 95 years old, still scooting along, driving. If you see a white Ford coming down the road, get out of the way. But I'd like to be like that. So everybody I run into wants to live. Nobody comes and says, you know, I think I just want to die. I had a guy call me one day and said, I think I want to die. I talked to him about dying and talked to him about the consequences of death and talked to him about not knowing Jesus Christ. He changed his mind. He said, I think I need to know Christ. I said, well, brother, let me tell you something. Once you know Christ, you forget that idea about dying, because once you come to Jesus, he's life and you want to live. His mission was to expose things to us that we might understand and have the everlasting eternal life revealed to us to illuminate the way that you and I can have life eternal. Notice that John says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Those few words in that fourth verse are huge words. Let me read them to you slowly. The light shines in the darkness. We have timers on our Christmas lights. Vita's got one there. V, I got one just like yours. Don't you take mine. We got a timer behind the Christmas tree. My wife said the other day, she said, I think that Christmas tree is staying on all night. I think it's staying on all day. It never goes off. I said, oh my, we got a problem. So yesterday, little did she know that while she was going to town, to Hobby Lobby probably, or Walmart, she gets in her car and the car says, go to Hobby Lobby. I mean, it's that bad. So I thought, well, I'll fix this Christmas tree while she's not here. Honey, I don't know if you noticed, I fixed it. You know what I had to do? I got down there and the Christmas tree's in the corner and I'm trying my best to get around behind this Christmas tree and not knock anything off of it. Cat does that. And I thought, I'll get around and look at that timer and see what the problem is. I could not see from the light of me by the light of that Christmas tree. I couldn't see in that dark corner. So I went down to the office area of our house. I unplugged that high-powered beam light that really shines bright. And I took it in there, and that light illuminated the darkness, and I could see what I needed to see. The problem was the switch was thrown to the on position and not the timer. I fixed it that quick. I wasn't going to tell her it was that simple. I was going to make it be a long thing. That light allowed me to see what I could not see before. My friend, Jesus Christ came into this world to illuminate this world. He was life. He is life. He is the light of men. And if you don't know where you need to go and what needs to happen in your life, look to Jesus Christ. The only way to have any chance at living a life that matters to those around you and to yourself is to come into the light of Jesus Christ that reveals life itself to us. In Jesus alone. And I say this without any reserve. In Jesus alone is the fullness of life. There's a lot of people walking around without Christ, and their life is empty. Well, Jesus Christ, he'll fill your life up, and not only fill your life up, he'll illuminate your life. You'll be able to see better. He'll show you the things that are dark now if you'll trust him. Without him, I've discovered this. Because listen, in these last 50 years of being involved in ministry and talking to folks and dealing with people, I've discovered this a lot of times. Why is it that people have trouble at midnight and they want to call me when they have it? I had a guy call me one time. He said, me and the old lady are fussing again. I said, there's your first problem. You just called her the old lady. That'll get you in a fight every time. He said, man, we're having trouble. I said, brother, it's 12:30. How long have you been having trouble? He said, about 4 years now. I said, this can wait till morning, man. And I went back to sleep. Let me tell you what, the light of Jesus Christ will illuminate your life and allow you to see things you've never seen before. And the only way, the only chance you have at living a life that matters to you, to your wife, to your family, to your husband, to the world around you, the only chance you have is to allow the light of Jesus Christ into your life that reveals true life. That's what Christmas is about. It's about the true life that is Christ. In Jesus alone, there's fullness of life. Without him, you really don't have life at all. Without him, life is miserable. Without him, the search for purpose and happiness just never seems to develop. Jesus exposes to us what real life looks like. The life John tells us about is a life that comes from knowing the light of the world. It comes from possessing the light of the world in our heart and knowing that we know him. Jesus came as the eternal light to give humanity an opportunity. That's me and you, to give us an opportunity to have what God intended before sin and Satan. Let me talk about that for a second. I got a minute. Adam and Eve, remember them? They were created and placed in absolute perfection. Now, let me tell you what I think that perfection looked like. Blackberries didn't have thorns. Figs didn't have seeds. There wasn't any sickness. There wasn't any death. It was just all about life. In the garden, Adam and Eve had every provision, everything they needed, God provided. That's what God wanted to do for mankind. Sin and Satan slipped in, and Satan spoke to the woman, who then spoke to the man, and sin found its way into the world, and that sin factor that came into the world put a damper on what God intended for all of us. God intended for you and I to dwell in plenty. You say, oh, we can have $1 million. Get off of that. He desires for you and I to have what we need to live. He desires to give us fullness in life. And if you know Jesus Christ, then you know that he is the eternal light that can shine in your life. He'll illuminate and expose things in your life and show you the right direction in which you need to travel. Jesus, the life that comes from knowing him, the life that comes from having the eternal life of Jesus in our heart, the light that comes from having that eternal light shine and guide us. It's an opportunity to have God as our friend. Brother Bill Broach used to tell me, he said, you know, I like that old music, but he said, there's one of them songs we sing I sure do like. I said, what is it, Brother Bill? He said, a friend of God. I'd sing it for you, but I'd make a mess of it. There's a line in a song that says, I am a friend of God. Listen, I'm glad to know that I'm your friend. I'm glad that I have friendship relationships with many of you in this church, closer with some than others, and I'm looking for more. I love to have good friends. Listen, God wants to be your friend. A friend sticks closer than a brother. A friend that will walk with you every step of the way, all possible through Jesus Christ, the eternal light, that can illuminate and expose the way for me and you to get back to what God intended for us in the first place. You've heard that word reconciliation. It's an opportunity, Jesus is, for you and I to be reconciled with God. To get the balance straight, to settle the books. To know that sin has been covered in our life by the eternal life that is Jesus Christ by his blood shed on Calvary's cross. Jesus came as the eternal light to expose the sins of the world. That's his purpose. That's his mission. His light reveals truth in a world that's filled with lies. His light exposes sin in a world that prefers darkness, prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. His light reveals the way when the world is confused. His light gets brighter and brighter in the life of the one that receives him. However, there was and is a great tragedy. The eternal light of Jesus Christ shined into the darkness of the world, revealing the shortcomings of people, illuminating the darkness which came through sin. Yet John tells us about this tragedy. John says, darkness prevailed. And those who were in darkness did not want to hear the light. They did not want to receive him. They did not want to claim him. Those living in darkness did not understand, the Bible says, nor did they comprehend. Do you comprehend? It means I understand. It means I get it. It means, aha, I understand. Those people who lived in Jesus' day, Jesus came to them, offering to them life eternal, offering to them life, offering to them light, illumination in their life. Yet John tells us in his cut and clear way, they did not receive it. The Creator who walked with his creation, they didn't know him. They didn't care to know him. What a tragic, tragic episode in history. when Jesus Christ comes and men will not receive him. That tragically goes on today. Jesus shows up, people don't receive him. I want you to know something, friends. There is nothing in Jesus' repertoire, there's nothing in his bag that's evil and bad. Well, why is it that good things happen to bad people? Don't read that book. Stay away from that. Good things happen to people, bad things happen to good people because God is God and he'll take you through those things. I'm looking at the face of people who have time to time experienced bad. But I'll never look into the face of anyone that has not experienced God leading them through those bad times. The Creator walked with his creation and they didn't want him. The Creator walks with us today. And still so many don't recognize the Messiah and want to have him in their life. The revealed light of Jesus invites all to come. I was talking to a man in the office before church today. And he was telling me about having visited another church. I always get scared when folks go and visit another church, not because I'm scared they're going to go somewhere else. I'm scared they'll hear a real preacher and not want to hear me anymore. But this man told me, he said, I went to this church. He said, it was just kind of empty. He said, a lot of people there were just kind of empty. I said, there were a lot of people, but it was empty. He said, yeah, it was empty. They just didn't feel the presence of the Lord there. And he said, let me tell you the thing that was really amazing to me, preacher. I said, what's that? He said, the thing that really amazed me, he said, they gave the invitation over the phone. Now, I remember hearing that old thing by that guy, Jerry, somebody that had a phone call with God. You remember that? Hello, God. Is this you? He said, what they did at the end of the service was encourage everybody to take their phone out and click on this certain place. If you want to make a decision, click one, and somebody will get in touch with you. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. Here in a little while, I'm going to give an invitation. Me and the staff are going to come down front. We're going to sing a song to purposely designed to move your heart that you might have an opportunity to make a decision to receive the light of the world in your life. Amen. We got too many churches and too many dull pulpits where preachers are holding on for dear life because they won't preach the light of God. Jesus Christ is the revealed light, and he invites all to come to him. Verse 9, look at verse 9 in our text. This text gives us a look at the far-reaching scope of the eternal light that is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. That was the true light. John said there had been others, apparently, that were not true, but when he pointed men to Jesus, he said that was the true light. And remember, John's talking to past tense because he'd given this gospel after the cross. He said that was the eternal light. That was Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what Jesus does. Jesus gives light to all men and all women and all young people in a dark, dark, dark world. This world we live in is dark. You noticed? It's dark. Watch TV. Listen to the news. It's dark. We have life because of Christ. People say, well, you know, life starts when we're born. You know, I got news for you. It started long before that. Life starts in the womb. If you see Travis jump up and leave in the next few times we're together, it's because his wife is about to pop. I mean, any minute, right? And so if you see him leave, you'll know why. There's others that I've seen that have been eating pumpkins, swallowing them whole, I guess. There's others in our church that are expecting. Well, let me tell you something. Life doesn't begin when you have that child. Life begins in the womb. I did a little scientific study. You say, well, I'm scared now. We have life in the womb because God gives it to us there. Our text, the Bible, is plain to me that says Jesus Christ came and he had life and offered life. And listen, he also says that he's the true light, and the true light of man is in the heart of men and women, in the hearts of children. He is there to create something called a heartbeat. We have life in the womb. God gives it to us. The world of darkness supports abortion and says, well, life starts at birth. No, it doesn't. Friends, life starts about 9 months prior before you enter the world. Life starts at conception, and there's a heartbeat in an embryonic tube. Not it doesn't really look like a heart. It looks like a straw is what it looks like. And in that straw, in that embryonic tube, all of a sudden there's this heartbeat. And listen, friends, it starts within the first 2 weeks of conception. That's when life starts at conception. It's not later on down the road. Life starts in. And listen, life comes into this world with the opportunity for light. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for our sins. There'll never be a person born on planet Earth that will not have the opportunity to understand what John says if they'll make application of their life. There was a true light which gives light to every man coming into this world. Every one of us have an opportunity to know Christ. Every one of us have an opportunity to have the revealed light of Jesus Christ shine in our life. The light that reveals darkness. And the crazy thing is, the light that reveals darkness, darkness tries to hide it, but it can't happen. Jesus doesn't come into our life to embarrass you. He doesn't come into our life to expose the darkness of your life. He doesn't come in your life to kill you. He comes into your life to reveal to you what's killing you. And that's sin. And his life points that out to us. And he reveals himself to us, to you, to your life, to be the light that illuminates your life and heals you. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave, the New King James says right. I love the Old King James. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, to become the sons of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. There's an open, standing invitation. From the gates of heaven to Northside Baptist Church this morning, from the gates of heaven to any nook and cranny on this planet, there's an outside, open invitation right now for people to receive the revealed light of Jesus Christ. John tells us those that receive Jesus have been given the right and the power, the privilege to become children of God. The revealed light that is Jesus came to invite all people to walk in the light that is Christ. And walking in the light, you have life. So in this life, the way I see it, there's two choices. Live in light or live in darkness. Here's what they look like. Darkness is rejection. Darkness is saying to God, I don't believe that. Darkness is picking apart what Jesus Christ has done for us. Darkness is not believing the word of God. Darkness is saying whatever happens will happen, let it happen. No, there is a plan for you and I in the word of God, and if we receive him and do not reject him and receive him, there's the other choice. You can reject or you can receive. There's rejection and reception. That's the only two choices we have. Those who believe and become children of God are those who receive Christ. At that first Christmas, the revealed light of Jesus was revealed. The light became flesh, and the Word became flesh. As John said, and dwelt among us full of grace and full of truth. That's the heart of Christmas. The heart of Christmas is an infant who came and illuminated the world. The eternal became an infant. The creator became a carpenter. And God stepped into skin. Why? Why do that? You ever been somewhere you didn't want to leave? I've been a few places in my life. My wife and I on vacation, and there's no Baptists or phone calls. Or I kind of want to stay. Well, no death and dying. I just kind of want to stay. I wasn't in another world. I was in this world, not too far up the road. I didn't want to leave. Let me ask you something. Can you imagine that day when God came to his only begotten son and said, I have a plan? So I don't know if I believe that or not, but just hang with me here. God said, I have a plan. And the son said, the plan? I've been waiting, Father, for the plan. He said, my plan is that you would become man, that you'd go to a manger in Bethlehem and be born of a virgin. And being born of that virgin, you'd grow up sinless. And in your sinless life, you'd live and show men how to live. You'd walk where they walk. You'll hurt the way they hurt. You'll die like they will die. But he came full of grace and truth, the Bible says. Amen. Truth that reveals who we are and what we are. Grace through God that loves us anyway. That's what I love about grace. God loves me anyway. And friends, I want to tell you something. I don't know how many times in the early days of these Christmas season, as we call it, and it's early yet, it'll be over before we know it. The only way to have a Merry Christmas. You said that to anybody lately? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I guarantee you, I have a brother-in-law, cousin of mine, who's going to call me Christmas Eve morning at some silly hour and say, Christmas Eve gift is coming. Jesus. The only way to truth and grace is through Christ. The only way to have a Merry Christmas, I mean a really Merry Christmas, is to walk in the revealed light that is Jesus Christ. The light reveals the way. My question would be this. If you're really interested in having a good Christmas, come walk with Jesus. Come walk this way. Come escape the darkness of the world through a light that is everlasting. A light revealed in Bethlehem's manger so long ago that still illuminates the world today. I offer to you a Merry Christmas. Father, I love you, Lord, and thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that's mine to be your preacher. I thank you, Father, for giving me your word, and thank you, Lord, for the time that you've given me to study and to be prepared, God, to do what you said do. I love you, Lord. I love this great church. And I know, God, that you love us more than anybody could love us. You love us. And I know, God, today that you love the men and women and young people gathered in this building. And I know, Father, that your Holy Spirit is present in this place. So, God, I pray right now that your Spirit might have free reign to move in this place, to move in the hearts and lives of men and women that need to make decisions, to really have the first Merry Christmas they've ever had, God, because they will allow the light of Jesus Christ to come into their life. There are some, God, who are distant. The light in their life has been placed under a bushel and doesn't shine as bright as it ought to shine. And God, you're waiting to re-illuminate, to move some things away so that that light that is Jesus Christ will be revealed in their life and those around them will see it. Father, those who ought to make decisions in this place today, would you, Lord, to your everlasting light shine upon them and bring them to yourself. I love you. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me as we stand together? Would you come as God might lead you?